What is up, dreamers?
Porker Patch!
That's a big classic.
Porker Patch! Oh, shit.
100% pork.
The amount of times that you come on and made me crack up on over that is pretty ridiculous.
It is Sunday, the 5th of February, 2012, and this is episode 4 of Get Lucid Season 2. Episode 4! That means that's been a whole month of Season 2.
With a week missed out.
Yeah, we did miss a week last week. That was your fault though.
Well, it's not all on me. There's been weeks where you can't do it, so helping each other out.
Don't recall that, but it's all right. How's it going anyway, sir? How is it,
mate? Apart from I'm massively ill.
I know. I did say as soon as I saw you on webcam, I thought, oh no, it's gonna be.
Yeah, I know. That was nice.
A bit ridiculous because you did look quite ill, so I did feel quite bad for you.
That's right.
Oh well.
Mum's been looking after me.
Show goes on, eh?
Exactly.
That's what they say.
Wait, you can't put me out without a fight.
So, have you had any lucid dreams this week, or any dreams, or anything of dream-like? Because it's been pretty difficult, I know that.
Well, it's been alright, but the problem is, right, like last weekend, went out massively with the lads for Ash's birthday.
Yeah.
And I like, because the weekends now is like when this is the time that I try to get lucid, because that's when I've got most time to get to sleep and stuff.
Yeah, but, and you've got no restraints in the morning about getting up. Yeah. So.
Friday went out for beers, Saturday went out for beers, Sunday I just went to sleep with a hangover, and then this weekend I went to Fabric and was out all night, didn't get home till 8 in the morning, so I couldn't get lucid then either.
It's just a total annihilation of the body.
It's just a hardcore week. And I've meant to have been giving up drinking, but...
Well, that's...
that wasn't going to
happen, was it?
But
don't
having
lie to
said
yourself.
That, I know, I still feel awful. I think it's the illness and the alcohol.
Yeah.
But,
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Literally, on Saturday, I fell asleep on the bus, and that was my sleep for Saturday.
Yeah.
But, I did get lucid during the week. How about you? Did you get any lucid, skinny dreams?
Yeah, I did have a couple of lucid. Well, I had one vivid lucid that I remember, which was
vivid.
I don't really remember what was going on. I know it was like a nuclear, problem. I know that sounds really weird, but like I thought the world was going to blow up type thing.
And, 2012 style.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, we'll get a lot of them.
I was worried that. That the whole of our, like, my family and that were going to, like, all blow up from nuclear bombs. Don't know why I thought that. That was what I was thinking in the dream.
Was it just you and your family?
It's like me and my mum and my dad. And we were like, oh, what are we going to do? There's going to be bombs everywhere.
Your neighbours are fine. It's just you and your family.
No, everyone was going to die, but I was more worried about my family than my neighbours. I mean...
Do you worry about me?
Maureen's all right. That's actually a name. That is my neighbour's name. Maureen and Peter.
Hope their cat's going to be all right.
They're definitely not watching, so I've got no qualms. Yeah, so she, they were in it, technically. They were next door, but, you know, I wasn't worrying about them. But yeah,
there's no concern for them.
So in this, like, nuclear... It was almost like the Cold War in my mind. I was like, oh, are we going to get bombed? Are we going to... And then, like, out of the blue, just was like, oh, this is stupid. This has got to be a dream. I looked at my hands. I was like, yeah, definite dream. Definitely.
Oh, good man.
So, and I didn't do any other tests. I just instantly was like, right, fuck it. I'm going to jump and fly. And, some people say they struggle with flying.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the case with me. Every time I want to fly, I just jump and I'm off. So I was like flying.
Every time.
I was flying through the air, pork and vag, and
oh yes. Oh, that's brilliant.
I wasn't,
but you've had a lovely flight control then.
Oh, it was wicked, and I was trying my best to like really, really control it and go where I wanted to, because in the air, for some reason, there was all these like ridiculous cameras.
Cameras.
I didn't mean camera, I meant islands. Don't know why I said cameras there. Obviously got cameras on the mind.
Common mistake that,
yeah,
cameras
know.
And islands.
There was all these islands like around the place, right? So
in the air?
Yeah, they were just floating. So I kind of like was trying to get between each of the islands it's like a little game, so like I try and jump and fly from one to the next. But it was weird because like I kept getting this weird feeling where I was flying sideways. Like it was, I was being forced sideways. Like my hip was my head, and I was like, whoa! Like it's really, really difficult to explain.
Your hip was your head.
Yeah, like what, my hip was the point that I was going.
The driving point.
Yeah. It felt well weird. So like I keep flying forward, and then suddenly there'd be like this whoa with my hip.
So, that must have looked so ridiculous.
Well, no one saw. There's no one ever in my dreams.
No. Was no one in your dream?
As soon as I get lucid, it just, I'm very lonely. It becomes very lonely.
And I've had this.
I've had this ever since I've lucid dreamed, really. There's a very massive, distinct lack of people in my dreams. I don't know what that's meant to signify. I don't know what it is, because, you know...
Well, no one wants to hang out with you if you're flying with your arse out.
No.
Sideways.
Well, it was quite a weird fly, but I don't think it was so weird.
I've
that people...
I've looked up so many techniques as well of flying. Like, people talk about, like, the frog, the breaststroke.
Right.
Like, the backward stroke, the Superman, jumping... No one's ever done it that way.
You've
made up your own technique.
The hip.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, so that's how I mean, that wasn't really... I wouldn't really call it a technique because I didn't intend to do that. It just happened. Like, I just sort of jumped in the air as I was trying... It was almost like, you know when... No, there's actually nothing like it. I can't even explain it to you about...
But I know. Basically...
It's like a rumble. Like... It felt like a rumble in the flight. It's like... You know when you have turbulence in a plane?
A bit of turbulence.
Yeah, and you feel like you're out of control and the plane's, like, wobbling. It felt like that, but from my hip. So, like, my hip just started to twist and, like, it went that way. And it was all... It felt like turbulence. It was really, really strange. But that is the best way to describe it. I had lucid turbulence. There you go. That was my lucid dream. Yeah, bear in mind, that's from 2 weeks. I've only had one in 2 weeks. I actually know I had another one, but once again, laziness.
Forgot it.
Yeah, forgot it. Should have written it down. I didn't even write that flying one down. The only reason I remembered it is because my mum asked me. She was like, oh, you had any your little dream things? Like, she doesn't really know that much about it, but I know that she said. She was like, oh, you had how's your dreaming going? And I just was like, oh shit, oh yeah, I got lucid, mum, yeah, and I just started shouting in her face, like, yeah, yeah. So yeah, definitely remember getting lucid again, but I am struggling with this whole writing it down again. It's really pissing me off. I don't know about you. Not as in I'm getting annoyed with the whole thing, like, I enjoy doing it, I just, I'm still annoyed at myself for being such a lazy bastard and not writing it down. Like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I know I got up last night in the middle of the night. Why didn't I just write it down? Because every single time I get up, I go, oh, I'll remember that.
Yeah, I know. That's you're just bullshitting yourself, aren't you? We all do it. It's all right. It's like, oh, I'll put the bins out later. Then you don't. It's exactly that. Like, I'll do the washing up later. And then your mum's like, you didn't do the washing up, did you? You said you'd do it later.
Manana, man.
Exactly. Same with the old dreams. Well, I didn't write many down, to be honest. But I still had a couple of lucids.
Oh, go on then. Please elaborate on your lucid experiences.
Right, okay, basically. For some reason, 9 times out of 10 now, well, it's a bit exaggerating, probably 7.5 out of 10.
Ooh.
I have wilds. They're mainly wilds. So, whacked out the wild. Like,
do you think that's because you can remember wilds a bit more, though?
No, I think it's just that, like, I feel comfortable doing them now. So, like, if I'm really intentionally want to get lucid, like,
yeah,
when I want a lucid dream, like, really, like, when you put more effort into it, because, like, you want a lucid dream every night, but then there's those nights where you're like, right, I'm definitely doing it tonight, where there's other nights where you're like, I will do it, but not feeling it as much, I don't know, but anyway, I'll give you a bit of the rundown, because I got home from work a bit earlier than usual, and I thought, I could sit in, watch TV and whatever, and I was like, nah, I'm just going to go to bed early.
Right.
And increase my chances of having a lucid dream because of the shifts I'm doing. Can't always get 8 hours sleeping, just about 8.
Yep.
So I went to bed early. I got 10 hours in. I was like, I'm definitely getting lucid because I'm making sure I'll have that massive REM period at the end to play about in. And that allowed me to have, like, my sort of slip-ups as well. Like, because you can have, like, lucid dreams and non-lucid dreams. It gave me enough time to have both. Like, because I don't always get it first time.
Right.
But so I had this wild... And I was in the room, and I knew immediately I was dreaming, and I saw Duig, but he had the face of Mark Haggis. I knew it was Duig, but it had Mark Haggis's face on him.
For people that don't know these guys, they're just friends of ours from real life.
Yeah. So I had this like this combination of two of my mates in one, and I was like, yeah, dreaming, but woke up again. But I did the old play dead and don't move, keep my eyes shut.
Yeah.
Go back, do the wild again. That's like the playing dead technique.
Yeah.
And then yeah, we were just going around the dream with mate Haggis. He's like, "Do you want to go down the pub?" And I was like, lucidly, I'm thinking, I was kind of tempted. And then I thought, no, I kind of seem to always like let dream characters give an idea to me, and I'm like, yeah, right, I'll go along with that, because like, I'm quite easy going. So I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that then. But this time I was like, nah, mate, I'm not up for the pub. I've given up drinking anyway. So
well, supposedly.
Well, that was last week, so you know. But the we went to this car park.
Right.
I was just exploring bit of dogging. You what? Bit of dogging.
Yeah, a bit of dogging.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a car, so it was just sex in the car park. I went to this car park, and there was a lift. And I was like, yeah, we'll get to the roof. So me, Haggis, and Rich popped in as well.
Right.
Like my other mate, Rich. Yeah, Rich Rollo. Getting in the lift. And like as the door's about to shut, I'm like, lads, what? I was like, why am I getting a lift? I mean, I'm lucid dreaming. I'm going to fly. Like, there's no need for a mechanical lift. So I quickly got out, flew to the top. So did Mark and Rich. And then we're up on this car park roof. As soon as we got up there, this bloke just shot up. I'd never seen before, and landed on the roof. He had like a car park attending outfit on.
Right.
He's like, oi, lads, what are you doing? You're not allowed to be up here. And I was like, what? This is quite a normal reaction for a lucid dream. Like,
yeah.
This is a car park. Get down. Who do you think you are?
So, and he just flown up as well, which makes it even more ridiculous.
He flew up like it was like normal life.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. So I just ignored him and flew off.
Right.
And then I thought, right, I'll experiment with the flight. Sort of did the same sort of thing you were doing, like trying to improve my flight.
Yeah.
And I started like doing squash and stretch, so my body was jumping up in the air and like flying even higher, and like my legs were dragging behind, like in cartoons, squash and stretch. Yeah.
Like an accordion when they like accordion things. Yeah,
that's the perfect thing for it. But then I thought, let's take it a bit further. And I was like, I'm gonna melt myself. So I intentionally decided to melt my body, just mucking about. It's just an idea that popped in my head.
Right.
Because of the squash and stretch thing, I thought it'd stay a bit further. So I started melting, and I could feel my face getting warm, and it was just like dripping down. It was literally like a melting candle. Like it felt like wax. That's the only way I can describe it, like melting wax. And then like, so and at this point I had the flight well controlled. So I was in the air, like not even hovering. I was just standing in the air, basically. I was not touching the ground, but I was just standing in the air. So I'm standing there in the air, just half melted, dripping with wax, and then I was like, why am I actually doing this? So I decided to stop.
That is some weird.
Right, and as soon as I stopped, it took like a couple of seconds and it all came back again, and I was normal. Yeah, but that was pretty weird, but I felt really warm when I was doing it.
I'm not surprised, you're melting. I felt a little bit cold when I was freezing to death.
Sorry?
I said I felt a little bit cold when I froze to death, you know, just a little bit of a chill. It's like you're saying that.
So after the melting incident, I was like, right, let's fly off again. Flew into the sea, and this is like how crazy dreams are. Like I flew into the sea, like, and I got in, and it's basically like a big cliff underwater.
Right.
And the cliff was filled with, you know, like those climbing walls. It was like that, but the things you hold on to were like crustaceans and like magic fish and these weird like shiny starfish objects, basically.
Right.
So I thought, I'll just climb up here then for a laugh. And I looked to my right and there was a bloke in a snorkel and mask doing it. And I was like, oh, you're right, mate. Talking and bubbles coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So I didn't have anything on. And he just looked at me and he didn't say anything because he had all the gear on. And I was like, oh, well, it's probably too awkward for you, but I'll leave it. So I was just climbing up this thing, and while I was doing it, I was like, this is actually amazing, because I remember saying, I'm experiencing something now which I'd never really be able to experience ever again, or unless I did the dream again. But I was like, I'm literally, it felt like I was climbing this really cool climbing wall underwater with all these crazy handle things I was climbing on. I just really enjoyed the experience. I mean, It's better than like watching a shit movie. It's like you can
and also we've kind of drifted away from our little sexual deviant ways at the start.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
we're kind of both now just, you know, trying
you
to
say
do
that, but
weird
I'm pretty
stuff.
Sure if I saw a hot girl underwater, I probably would have just
porked the vag.
Yeah, chicken like fillet said. With a pork.
Chicken fillet in a jam jar.
That's it. Oh, I'd have got that marinade sauce out and whips her in. So I carried on climbing, ended up getting to like the beach shore. So I got onto the beach and it was like a theme park. And I was like, this is well cool. Oh, right. It's going on for a long time. And there was a bloke selling hot dogs, like hot dog stands. I was like, oh, yeah. I'll have a hot dog. I got chatting to him. It's so normal.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, can I have a hot dog? Yeah, cheers. I got him a beer just like because he sorted me out of a hot dog.
Right.
I just enjoyed eating it, really. I was like, you still get caught up in these little enjoyments of the taste. Like, it's weird that you don't appreciate the taste of a hot dog normally.
Nah, but in a drink. Like,
oh, mate, this is well good. Put some more onions on. Oh. So that's how I was feeling. And I was like, I was sort of feeling a bit obese. So I was like, right, I'll go have some more food. And there's a burger back. And the bloke was, I said, yo, can I have a double burger with cheese and onions? And he was like, yeah, no probs. Oh, and chips as well. And he was cooking it in a really weird way. He had all these potatoes that were in weird shapes and cutting them into like thirds and fourths, right. And then putting it on like a hot plate. And basically he was explaining the technique of cooking all this stuff. And he was talking for ages. And like, I was like, this is one of those times where I had this thought process, like where something will happen in the dream that sort of distracts you. And it sort of turns into this event that never gets anywhere. And you're just like an example, like when you're trying to find your socks or something, your never ending cycle. And then you eventually wake up and you never found your socks. You spent that whole time in the dream looking for them. And it was kind of like that. I was like, he's not actually going to make that burger for me. He keeps on faffing about and talking and stuff. And I thought, well, I don't want to risk waking up. I want to enjoy this burger. I don't want him chatting and stuff. So I basically pretended I had a remote in my hand, pointed it at him, and went to fast forward. And at first, it didn't work because I was holding nothing. I was literally pretending I had it in my hand, not holding anything. And I was just like fast forwarding to try and get him to speed up. But eventually, I noticed there was a slight shift in his speed. So I was like, that gave me the confidence to say no, it was working. So I was like, I kept on pressing it with the intention of it boosting up the speed each time.
Right.
Like a fast forwarding on a cassette or whatever.
Cassette? Yeah. Cassette? What, are we in the 1980s?
Yeah, mate.
Quick, mate, get the cassette out. Yeah, I want to get that new album. Cassette
It's
time.
Like, get the cassette. It's got quadruple fast forward speed. Oh, mate, that's well good.
I can record this cassette. Oh my god, I can't believe he's a cassette.
I managed to fast forward this bloke to a ridiculous speed.
Right.
I was at a normal pace. Like, I was just standing there thinking normally, nothing was happening to me in change of speed. And the other dream characters around were sort of fast forwarding around me.
Right, so really?
What you've done is
done what we were talking about last week.
The time thing. Well, I pressed play, which I didn't have a remote again. I just pressed this thing in the air, like, yeah. Hey, that's the play button. Bullshitting myself.
Yeah.
And then he gave me the burger and I ate it and it was delicious. And then after that I woke up. But that was it. Yeah. Didn't manage to sort of do time, change time in the way we said last week. But I did manage to bend time a bit.
Yeah.
In terms of like fast forwarding it and stuff. So that was kind of interesting.
That's really.
Like that would be really handy to use in situations where you're lucid and stuff's not going your way. You'd be like, well, I'll just fast forward this bit then, skip to the end.
Yeah, and also that stops you from falling out of lucidity as well, because a lot of the time those sort of loops that you were talking about are the things that cause you to like fall back into a normal dream.
That's exactly what I was worried about. I was worried about that all waking up. So I thought, well, I'll just fast forward it then, because I didn't want to get wrapped up in it. And we're starting to get a bit more familiar with these sort of scenarios, you know what's coming, so you're like, I might sort of sway off again. So I was like, bang, fast forward this, that's it, get the cheese on, do them potatoes, put the burger, you got any sauce? No, play, that's it.
That's wicked. That's really cool. Yeah. Though that's really cool.
It was quite cool, and it was a delicious burger as well. And I woke up and I felt quite satisfied.
Lovely chap.
That was only one of them, mate.
Oh, you got another one?
Well, I've got another one. I don't know.
Go on. You can recap over it quickly. It's not going to work.
All right. Well, It's not as mental. Like that was like a thing I could remember in one go. This was just loads of bits. Well, basically, throughout the night, I was having these dreams and stuff. And, you know, I said dogs are my dream sign.
Yeah, we all know with your little dog.
There's no fetish, all right?
Let's say fetish. Yeah, you put that in your own head.
You said it, though, with the tone of your voice.
Didn't say anything, mate. You put that one in.
Anyone who's listened to this episode first time round, they're going to be like, what is he on about? Fetish with dogs?
You've said it twice now.
But you build it up. You've been building this up, though.
Consider love. Enjoyable love. That's brilliant. Yeah, your dream sign is your little fetish with dogs.
Yeah, anyway, right, this dream, I was having a full-blown conversation with, I don't know what dog it was, but it was like a Labrador, like a small black Labrador.
Right.
A full-on conversation.
Yeah. Did it speak? What voice? Do you remember what sort
English,
of voice?
And it was like a normal person.
Yeah, but what type, like, what tone? Was it deep?
Well, the thing
voice,
is, this dream's
voice?
Really fuzzy. This dream's really fuzzy, but it was literally, it kind of sounded like me a bit, to be fair. So it was just talking to a dog that sort of sounded like me.
Now you're talking to yourself in like a
well,
more
I don't know
version.
I don't know. Like, he was a lot more dog-like though. Like he wanted. To...
Well, he was a dog. You're not a dog, although you want to be.
I know I'm not a dog. You know.
It's a bit more dog-like.
No, you didn't get to the bit where I was going to say. Basically, I was talking to him. He was talking English in a human voice, but he was talking like he was a dog. So he wanted to go and run off and play in the field with the cows. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't do that, mate, because there's a ball right in the middle of them. You don't want to disturb that because you're going to end up hurting yourself. So I had to like persuade him not to go play in the field with the cows where this farmer was running about. But like we were talking quite a while. But I just got frustrated that I didn't get lucid from it. That was just me dreaming.
Yeah, but to be fair...
Like they say, I'll smash out your dream sign. Like, once you've got a dream sign, you get lucid. I know dogs are my dream sign. And I was chatting to one for about 10 minutes.
Yeah,
nothing.
That's quite a weird situation. Because talking dogs that are very much like humans is probably not your dream sign. So that's a bit of both, really, isn't it? That's quite a difficult... But also, do you do reality tests every single time you see a dog?
I do, because Harvey's staying at where I'm living at the moment. Harvey's a dog, by the way.
Maybe you should do a couple of tests.
I know, but like, I see him all the time.
Yeah, right,
in and out the house as well.
But when
he's
you
always
first
going
see
out.
Him, like, say when you first wake up, you should do one. And when you first get back in, you should do one. Because that is still a dream sign. And the thing is, it's because he's so encumbered in your world there.
Hairy.
And he's quite hairy, yeah. Well, I mean, he is a dog.
Disgustingly hairy.
He's a bit more dog-like than you, you know.
It's weird as well, because I stroke him a lot. I get a lot of hairs on my jacket. So I basically go to sleep, dream about dogs, have conversations with dogs, and then put on a coat full of dog hair. That's
absolutely.
My technique.
And you said, I'm not even going to comment. I'll let the viewers, you know, they can think up what they want.
No, you don't have to think. Anyway, I had that experience. Woke up, went back to sleep. Intention to get lucid, but like a bit half-assed. But I managed to do it, whack out the wild. And me... I was running along like this. It was kind of like a movie scene. It was like in a jungle safari.
A mighty jungle.
Mighty jungle.
Lion was sleeping tonight.
He certainly was. But I was running, and you were down a jungle ledge as well on the left of me.
Right.
And basically, I did the wild, and the wild was me starting to run. I was running in the dream. Like, this scenario had already happened. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just go with the flow. And I kind of realised that we were having a race, running to get to somewhere.
Right.
I'm actually running on the spot, pretending I'm doing it. Now I don't know why I'm even doing that. I'm shaking. And we both ran up to this, like, sort of bell tower, and I grabbed this rope and pulled it down, and that meant I won the race. So I beat, by the way. So,
well,
better luck next time.
It's not hard.
Keep yourself. Keep up.
You're a marathon
treadmill.
Runner, so don't blame you. Don't blame you.
But anyway, I had that, so that's a pretty weird experience. And then after that, went back to sleep, and because I was a bit more aware, just had a lucid, I smashed out the OBE accidentally. I smashed out an accidental OBE, and it was the weirdest one. Basically, I came out of my mouth, bottom up. my arse went out my mouth, sort of like that.
And you were worried about me flying with my hip to the side, and you're coming ass out of a mouth.
It wasn't intentionally.
That's what I said about the hip. Still got a bit of cheese for it.
Well, you know, or maybe, you know, different techniques for different needs. But the
that's that. Right, for everyone that's listening, that technique is the new technique for astral projection. We're gonna make a video about how you come out of your own mouth with your ass.
It's called bottoms up.
Bottoms up. You had that one pre-planned, didn't you?
No, I just literally whacked it out. I just got that sack and whacked it out of the bag.
Bottoms up. Oh dear.
But even though we're laughing about it now, I was excuse the pun, shitting myself. As I
could have used anything then.
Yeah, in the astral world, like I didn't, I felt the sensation of my ass coming out of my mouth. but
the fact that you described sensation. Oh shit!
Right. So anyway, I was really scared though, so I didn't want to open my eyes, and I got really worried about. I just don't know. I don't know. I get OBEs are scary. I find them scary. I don't know why. Because I guess it's because you feel so detached from your body that you're used to. And I was actually quite scared. I didn't really want to open my eyes, and I just wanted to get back in my body.
Well, which you didn't even need to open your eyes because you were coming out arse first. You'd have to like open your crack. So, just have a look here. Open my crack. Oh, your eyes would have come out last anyway.
No, but I mean, I got out of my body completely.
Oh, and you didn't want to open your eyes when you were standing up.
My whole body was out there, yeah, but I didn't want to open my eyes. I was too scared. And I was like, I'm just going to get back in. So I got back in my body.
How did
my
you
body.
See it? Did you go back in, like, face first? Or did you go back in face first?
No, this is it as well. Like, you say, it was more of a feeling. Like, I didn't need to look where I was. Because I guess I judged. It's weird. I guess I judged how the distance I travelled from me coming out the mouth where I was hovering.
Do an explanation. So is that actually a physical reenactment, what you're doing right now, that I can see? Try and reenact it for us on the camera.
It's helping me explain it to myself. But I was doing that, and I just managed to go back in the same. It's like closing your eyes, walking backwards and walking forwards, you know? It's basically like that. I knew the direction I went.
Oh, right.
To go back in.
Well, yeah, you kind of.
I wasn't.
That's weird.
Anyway, cutting the fat off. I did that, and then I woke up and I had to get the bus to work. And I was sitting on this bus, and I was like, "That was actually a ridiculous night's sleep." I was chatting to a dog about a farmer chasing the bulls.
Oh, so it's all in one night, was it?
Yeah. Then I was running with you for a jungle, grabbed onto a bell, and then I came out of my mouth ass first, and then went back in of my body.
You need to recall what you just said then. And grabbed onto a bell, then I came out my arse.
but then I was sitting on the bus, and I was like, I can't handle this. I can't handle these ridiculous experiences. Now that I'm remembering them more, and also lucidly doing it, constantly aware. And then I'm just sitting on the bus, normally, casually, just quiet, minding my own business. I'm like, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's so outrageous, going from one extreme to the other. Like, these dreams hit coming up all at once. And then I'm back to normality,
back
going
to the ultimate mundaneness of bus.
And I was like, it's like having a split personality, just flicking the switch. And it's like, I don't know how people cope that well with this sudden shift in all these crazy experiences. And it's like, oh, John, could you make me 45 copies of that A4 bit of paper? It's like, yeah, all right, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, I've just come out my own mouth, arse first. But yeah, of course. I'll do some copies. Yeah, it's fine.
You know, it's such a. I still find it hard to, like, even. I don't know, I'm just finding it hard to cope, I guess, with all these crazy experiences and then going straight back on. You've got to flick yourself back to normal.
That's part of learning it, though, isn't it?
That's the first time, though, that that's ever affected me that way. Most times I'm, like, pretty chilled out, or, like, that was well good, but I was like, that's a bit full on.
If you had any other lucid dreams that have, like, genuinely affected your, like, waking life, or, like... Because I remember a while ago I had a dream where I had a wild, right? And I remember myself, the way that I fell into the wild, because I always fall into my wilds. I don't know about you, about your experience, from the sounds of it, you're in them, but...
Yeah.
Mine always seem to be that I fall in some way, shape or form. And now it's really annoying because I'm kind of like, come on, fall. When I'm like lying in bed, I'm expecting the fall. And it's it's proper fucking me up with my wilds. And it's really annoying because I'm expecting a fall. But anyway, yeah. So I had this dream where I fell and I was like swirling round, kind of like a feather, you know, where they sort of swirl down.
Oh yeah.
I was doing that and
delicately.
As I was doing that, I kept like opening my eyes and I'd be in different environments. So like, I'd open my eyes and there'd be one environment. And I'd open my eyes. This was a while ago.
That's like a really really delicate, like perfectionate dream spinning technique.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was
like a ballet version.
The thing is, I didn't mean to do it. It just was happening, right? And then I opened my eyes and I was in this weird dream. I think I talked about this dream a while ago. It was where I was in like a warehouse type thing and no one was there and I was just shouting for people again. Just couldn't find anyone. And then I woke up, right? And I woke up and I was like, oh, this is a dream. Like I all straight away knew that it was a dream that I'd woken into, right? But I was lying in my bed like I would do normally and I was like, this is really weird. And I looked to my right. Nothing was there at all. Nothing. But I was so scared. Like, I thought there was something there, but there wasn't. It was just...
What was it? Just a colour?
No, it was just a feeling that I had about this part of my room. It was really weird, right?
But, and like, could you see? Like, was it pitch black, or could you actually see?
It was pretty dark. I could see outlines. You know, like, you say if you were asleep and you open your eyes, like, in real life, in waking life, and all you know what you see. You see, like, outlines of stuff. Obviously, it's dark, but, so I, like, opened my eyes, and there was this... Just I felt really off and I screamed out, right? I was like, ah, like that. Nothing came out of my mouth.
Bloody hell. Oh, that's a bit...
Yeah, and it proper freaked me out. And then I woke up, right? And I woke up and I was like, oh my fucking God, that was well weird. I was like, oh, it's only a dream. And I was like, oh shit, maybe this is a dream. So I did loads of tests, went to the bathroom, like had a piss and all that and did the tests.
Back to bed.
Yeah. And then I kind of was like, all right, I'm going to try another lucid dream. I got back on the horse, but... That really did affect me, like in the waking state. Like I woke up and I really shit my pants. Like,
well, basically, what you're having is a lucid nightmare.
Yeah,
in a sense. So it's a nightmare that feels even more vivid and real than like a normal nightmare.
Is that most nightmares have something to confront? There's always something like chasing you or like this or that. You know, a monster's there. But this one, I woke up and I just felt fucked up.
I felt fear.
There was no
intense fear.
There was nothing there. And then for like weeks later, I'd stare at that position at night in my bed. Like I'd look at it and I'd be like, oh, just reminds me of that fear. There was nothing there ever. And it was really, really strange.
See, like I can't be dealing with that. I don't want that.
I loved it though.
You loved it.
I mean, I hated it.
I loved intense fear.
Yeah, because you kind of like, where else are you going to get such an irrational fear of nothing?
Yeah. I completely understand where you're coming from because I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but I had a lucid dream where the environment was basically like, you know, when Frodo puts his Lord of the Ring thing on his finger.
Yeah.
And it was like all this like crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just fucking windy.
It's like a wispy world.
It's like a gale force gust just comes in the room. It was like that, but like really dark and like a desolate world.
Yeah.
And I looked at my hands, and me just being in that environment made me scared. I just scared, and like really scared though, not like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That intense fear.
Like, I kind of sounded like what you were feeling, but I woke up, and then from that I was like, it made me kind of question if I wanted to continue with lucid dreaming there and then on the spot after just having that experience. And I was like, maybe I'll give it a rest because. I really did not like that feeling, but obviously you learn from it, you grow from it, you learn from your
mistakes. That's what I mean. Like, although I didn't like it at the time, I love the fact that I can look back and I still can look at that part of my room and just feel that fear. And I'm just like, where did that come from? What even was it? And why do I still feel it when I'm not even a part of it? It was fucked up. But I like the fact that I've got that because then, you know, right. although you've got the fear in the physical realm, that also makes you think, like, you know, have you ever had it before where you felt really attached to a girl, like in a dream? Like, you wake up and you're like, oh man, that girl last night in that dream was...
I know, awesome. I'm still looking for Sally.
Or, like, for example, like famous people. I've had it before where... And in fact, Danny Torgerson actually talked about this on the episode 14 of season 1, where he, you know, he hung around with Jesse Ventura, the conspiracy theorist guy who's actually... By the way, Danny, if you listen to this episode, I checked out his shit and he's badass, so thank you for pointing me in that direction. And, yeah, and he was explaining how he had, like, a massive affection for this bloke. Like, obviously, he liked him before because he was a fan of his work beforehand. But he said that he felt like he hung out with him all night, you know, and that he became friends with him. And it's kind of like, you know, and he's brought that back to, like, the physical world as well. And he's brought back that longing, you know, for a friend, because it almost feels as if you know them. And I've had that experience in good and bad. Like, obviously, the bad is the example that I gave, you know, the fear that I had. But the good is that, you know, I've come out with some things where I'm, like, longing for someone that I've felt that I've had a really good connection with in a dream. Does that sound weird? I mean, I'm sure other people have had this.
No, I totally understand with you. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I agree. Like, the problem is, like, those fears, they can fade away. Like, the feeling of the fear that, like, goes over time. Like, I can still remember it, but, like, that initial feeling that initial feeling when I first woke up, I was pooing myself. It was quite scary. But I guess it's a good thing, though, because if you can try and keep that in your mind and remember that fear, you can use it to help yourself.
Yeah.
You know, next to overcome certain things, I guess. Or next time I'm in a lucid dream and I know. It's easy to talk about it now, but in the moment when you're in that scenario where there's, like,
yourself.
A big fear, you shit yourself. But at least you can try and tell yourself, like, well, I've been in this situation before.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I can relate to that and help me overcome this rather than absolutely pooing all over the dream scene.
It would be quite a challenge.
Waking up in a mess.
And almost you could convert it. Like, maybe next time I'm in that position where I'm really, really fearful, I could just sort of go, why am I this scared? Like, sort of take a look back. Like, whilst you're in that position and go, why am I scared? What is that scary about this? And imagine if you got an answer out of it in some way or another, how you could bring that to real life as well. Because if you feel that fear in real life, maybe you could feel the resolve as well. Ooh, oh, this definitely. Is getting philosophical. Oh,
you are getting proper deep.
Right.
I was thinking of another take on it as well.
Right.
Like, you could do that. Or, like, if you're in this intense fear environment, you could just whack something out of the bag that's totally unexpected by the dream. So this dream's like creating this fearful environment, and you could literally shout out, "Porker Vag!" And it might just completely change. It's like putting a curveball into the fear dream.
That's a cool idea.
Have a play with it. You just do something like that. Get your baps out!
Shaven Fanny! Like, just shout it.
Who's let wind? Who's past wind? Stinks in it.
Oh,
that was disgusting. I don't know. So next time
that is the juice, isn't it? That's a juice way of doing it. Oh, mate.
That's the juice way of overcoming it.
That's a cool idea. Well, mate, we've actually run massively over what we were planning on running about that topic.
Have we?
Yeah, because I wrote down that we were going to chat about lucid dreams' effects on the real life, and that was meant to be like a third of the episode. We've done 40 minutes of it.
Hold it.
That's all right. Doesn't matter. To be fair, we should run it a bit longer because last week we skipped it out. Yeah. And we gave, oh, I mean, we did do the interview for people. We did that a while ago, but hopefully people enjoyed that. did you listen to it again?
I listened to got 4 minutes, but then I had to go to bed.
It's actually really funny. Like, I really enjoyed listening to it. So if you guys, think about what I was going to say then. If you guys haven't seen it already or listened to it already, please check that out. It's on our Facebook, and give thanks to Will. I still can't pronounce his name. He's actually going to have to.
Will Purgatory, innit?
No, it's not that. That's a word. Purgatory is a place in heaven or something. Will Perigoy or something like that. I'm pretty sure it's close to that. If it's not, tell us, because we need to learn how to say your name, because you pop up all the time. But yeah, check that interview out. Next topic I've written down for us to chat about was shared dreaming. And the reason I wanted to, you know, bring this one up was because halfway through the week you rang me. Well, no, I don't believe in shared dreaming. No. That was it. That's all. And then you put the phone down.
It wasn't that out of the blue. No. It was Joe. Oh. Could you pick up another Snickers at the shop? Oh, I don't believe in shared dreaming either. See you later. It wasn't like that. One of our little dream chats. Yeah, and I just had a bit of a...
No, I'm just taking
it. I think I had a bit of an off day as well. So yeah. Don't...
No, but it has sparked a little bit of a conversation because...
Yeah.
Well, you said that you're losing confidence in it almost. Like losing confidence in someone being able to have the ability to share dreams or share dreams.
I don't like this. It's like the darker side. Yeah. I was kind of losing a bit of belief in the whole. I guess I was just kind of thinking that maybe me and you are thinking a bit too into dreaming in the way that we are, mainly because I watched that documentary that someone posted. What was that? Calm your coughs down.
I can't help it. I've got to get rid of it.
the documentary was saying... The documentary was saying that people who had strokes don't dream.
Right.
Basically. That's what they're getting to. So I started thinking the whole idea that, well...
Yeah, but why? Maybe... Why did they say that they couldn't dream? Because you said to me that there was a reason why they couldn't dream.
Oh, because the stroke affected a certain part of the back of their brain.
Right.
Which stopped them. I think it was something to do with creating, like, imaginary imagery or something. I don't know. I might be absolutely ripping that out of nowhere. But basically, people who had strokes, they couldn't dream. So this woman was saying that she'd wake up more frequently throughout the night when she should probably be having these micro awakenings.
Right.
But she was waking up, I think, and not really getting much REM and not really dreaming. And they were saying that was a byproduct of having a stroke. So then it made me start thinking that dreams are a lot more based on the physical, like more to do with the stuff going on in your brain and stuff.
Yeah.
Which they are. But I guess it took away that whole sort of spiritual side of it, I guess. And it took away that layer of it, and it just made it well more based around what's going on inside your brain. So then I was having a bit of maybe shared dreaming can't be done then. But I don't know.
Well, the way I'd sort of look at that, I think there's two ways you can kind of look at that, is that one, you said that they're not dreaming, right? The thing is that when you say they're not dreaming because of the physical thing in their mind, maybe they're not dreaming, but do you think that the dream world is still, or like that it still exists, that plane of existence still exists, right? Because she might have lost the ability to dream, but does that mean that her dreams do not exist, right? So this is really, really hard to explain in my mind.
I'm feeling this.
Almost it could be that rather, instead of her not being able to dream full stop, it's just that she's almost killed the portal to which she could get through to that dream world. Like we all have. We have the ability to get through physically in our mind. Maybe she's lost that ability, but does that mean that it's just a physical thing, but maybe she could still get there? You know, say for example she died, right? This is going well metaphysical. But say if she died, right? And the dream world was this sort of place where our subconscious exists. And, you know, maybe she would then become part of the subconscious again. But up until that point, she's lost the physical ability to, like, pass through that sort of zone, if you want to call it.
Basically the equivalent of losing her car keys and then until the RAC come out and get her in.
You could say that. I don't think anyone else in the world would have said that, though. I'm trying to sort of think about explaining.
I know what you mean. She's lost her keys.
Yeah. She's lost the key to her house, is a better way of saying it. Yeah.
And then
but does that mean her house doesn't exist?
Blacksmith, locksmith.
If you lose your keys to your house, you can't see the contents of your house. It's kind of like that whole thing of saying, if you know, if a girl screams in the wood and no one's around to hear what? It, then did the, a bear scream in the wood or whatever.
Why have to be a girl screaming in the woods?
I don't know. It's an old proverb where it's like, oh, if something's...
If a girl's screaming in the woods, then it's rape.
Not necessarily. She might have stubbed her toe. On a massive...
You left this tree out here.
But yeah, there's an old proverb that says like, oh, if... something screams in the woods.
The
no one's
is,
around
if
to
a tree,
hear it.
If a tree falls down, who's around to hear it? There's no screaming involved.
I thought there was some sort of screaming. All right, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one around to hear it, there's something after that as well. I can't.
Does it make a sound? Does it make a sound? Fucking hell! Got there
it's
in the end.
It's the same thing, right? It's like because she's not actually got the ability to dream. Does that mean that her dreams don't exist? It's kind of weird, but.
No, I that's a good fair point, to be fair. But do you reckon you dream when you're dead? And if you've lost the technique to dream while you're alive, do you have it when you die again?
Maybe it's not. Maybe
give me the answer.
Really, maybe it's just another plane of existence in which we live, because the only reason we call them dreams is because that's what we've decided to describe them as. But really, they could be. You know, we don't know anything about them, really. Like, the actual levels of consciousness. No one knows anything about. And the weirdest part of that is that the only thing that we have is, like, the physical world and the physical realm and the physical answers to these questions. But they can't actually, you know, give us the information that we need, because everyone experiences all of it differently. Oh, it's just so complicated. There's no point in us thinking about this, really. It's just that I thought...
Oh, it's a good chat.
It was a cool.
So shared dreaming still on the cards.
Basically, definitely on the cards,
and I really want it to be as well.
Yeah, but the thing is that you lost confidence in the fact that you thought that because she couldn't dream anymore, that dreams were that you almost lost importance to your dreams, and you thought they were just like a byproduct of physical activity.
Yeah, because it had such a knock-on effect on her dreams.
But maybe
she lost the keys.
She just lost the keys. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. So don't lose your keys, everyone.
But I also, to be fair, this week watched Inception, and it juiced me right back up for a shared demon again. And the time thing. So it's like, oh, I'm well up for shared and time at the same what time?
Timey share. Timey share.
Yeah. Time share. Oh, that's filthy. If you can ever knock off a timeshare dream, that'd be amazing.
Right.
That is my goal at the moment, though. The whole time, like, because now I've done the fast forward thing.
You want to do the rewind?
Like, I really want to do the type the number in.
Oh, the extendathon.
Extendathon. I really want to do that. So, like, basically, in case they didn't hear
a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
What is it? You plug in a dream.
Well, you don't have to plug in any.
Well, you type in 1 hour.
Oh right. Yeah. No. Sorry. Yeah. Go on.
Equals 5 hours in the dream. So one waking hour equals 5 hours in the dream, and then it sets your experience of time to that, but it extends the dream, basically.
You see, I think this could work, right? A lot of people have said to me, oh, that's a load of bullshit, right? I've talked to people about it, and they were like, oh, you know, that might be a load of bollocks. And I was like, well, whatever you want to believe. But the thing is that people go on about a body clock all the time. They say how a physical body clock, oh, yeah, my body clock, it wakes me up, you know, before my alarm goes off, it wakes me up, right? So why could you not distort your body clock? You know, it's obviously a subconscious thing, that body clock.
So that's really
distort
cool.
That in your dreams. You can control other parts of your subconscious. Why not your body clock? So maybe it is something that can I think it could. What are you laughing at now?
It's just like we're just chucking so much in the pan. Like so it's like trying to get lucid's hard enough. Now I've got to try and control my body lock and remember my dreams and try and have an OBE.
Well, no one has to do this.
This is what I was talking about earlier. Like, there's so much that's going on when you go to sleep, and then you wake up and you're like, right, got to go make the tea now or do the washing, and you've had to deal with all that the night before.
Well, maybe
it's outrageous.
Maybe you just need a day off every now and then. That's all it is. But well, we might as well chat about our lucid homework. Because I've heard on the grapevine you didn't even bother doing yours, you know, you're that lazy. You had 2 weeks to do it.
Well, I probably would have done it if I hadn't gone out raving.
Yeah, well.
Every weekend.
But yeah, our lucid homework last fortnight was just to have a couple of naps. And you didn't even do it.
Couldn't even fit that in.
Tight schedule, Smith. Tight schedule.
Exactly.
But yeah, so...
Do you manage to do that?
Yeah, I had multiple naps. A couple of them.
Got plenty of time. Got plenty of time for your napping.
I did. I had quite a few naps. I had about four. But
four naps? How'd you fit in four?
Oh, they were like 40-minute afternoon naps, you know. But
get a job, mate.
I've got one now. It's all good.
Yeah, so you won't be having them naps
in? I don't know. You can have naps in the evening.
I'm not feeling an evening nap. That's like having a meal before dinner. I'd rather just have
it's
my main
lunch.
Sleep.
And breakfast.
It's one between that.
That's called supper. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so you didn't have one. So lucid detention then.
I didn't have my lunch.
Lucid detention, sir.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Well, what's my detention? We should sing this song.
Well, I said we should get Smith to sing a stupid song live on air.
Should I do it now?
No. I want to get people to vote to like say what like suggestions right. of what stupid
well,
song.
All right, okay. So, but look, we haven't got enough listeners for there to be a consecutive voting system. It'll just be random songs.
We have in a. Like, I'm not talking about on the live. I'm talking about like we'll get people to sort of vote for it.
Right.
And well, we'll compile a list of a few songs that people say, and then we'll get people to vote on which one. And then we'll vote.
Because I wouldn't want to do it. Think about it now. I wouldn't want to do it now because my voice is a bit croaky, so I probably won't give my best performance.
So, we'll do that next week. I'll get people to vote on it. That's fine. And lucid homework this week is going to be just to have a lucid dream. So we've finally gone from dream journal to naps. Now we're getting in the big boy league. Big boy league. Soon we're going to be doing like lucid goals. This is what we wanted, is to get to the point where we're having enough lucid dreams where we can have lucid goals within the dreams as homework, because that's more important. But because we have had we've had less success than we did last year on lucid dreaming when we first got back into it. We've had to sort of redo it again. So so have a lucid dream is going to be the topic.
That's a bit of a cop out, but. We'll go for that.
Yeah. Well, we just, you know, we're building it up, so that's it. It has building to go. It it's the logical next step.
I know it is. There's only so much faffing about.
Yeah. So yeah.
Just have the lucid.
Right. We have got quite a few questions this week, so I'll get them up. Give me a second.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Get the list out.
Sweet. Oh. Right. Okay. Oh, right. We've got one from Trey Anderson. Here we go.
Here we go. Are you doing the thing where you put it on the screen?
Yeah, it's on the screen, mate. It's on the screen.
Magical.
You can't read it, but never mind. I have been very interested in astral projections and came across your podcast a week ago. Excellent. He says, when you are in your astral body, you are able to see the different planes of existence. In our physical bodies, we only ever see the physical realm, blah, 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 blah. He says some other stuff.
Skip that bit.
Yeah. This is what he was truly asking was, I passed... Past lives is what he's asking about, and it's cool because I actually watched a documentary on this, so I've got quite a lot to talk about for it. He says, I've only done this once, and it was interesting. I wasn't who I thought I'd be. I expressed a desire to see a past life, and the next thing I knew, I was a flyboy in a fighter plane during the last world war. My current best friend was also a pilot and a friend of mine as well. I plan on doing more past life regressions. I feel close to many cultures and time periods and want to explore that. I think he's not really asking for our opinion, but we're going to give our opinion on it. And that's from Trey Anderson. So talking about past lives, Smith, I'll go second because I've got
that's just another thing to put on the list of things to do, isn't it, before you die. Whack out a past life experience.
Well, the reason I kind of wanted to bring this one up was because I watched a documentary. I can't remember who linked me to it, but it was about this kid, right, who claimed that he
I've seen this. He was his granddad or something.
No. He was Scottish, and he kept on going about this island that he in a past life. And his mum was like, "Shut up! You're just chatting shit all the time, mate. Look, just taking a piss."
She don't talk to her son like that, does she?
No, of course not. And then some doctor from America got involved, and then it became legitimate, right? So he
got involved when she started beating the child. Shut up!
Shut up about your bad luck, whatever it was. So, in the end, right, what happened is that he went on about it, and he said that he had this little house on the side. He was only about 7, and he'd been doing it all his life. He'd been talking about this previous life all his life, right? And there was no way that his parents knew about what he was on about and all this sort of shit. And it was really strange that they actually went to the place that he was talking about, and everything he said was like true about the house where he lived. And then they found a family member that was actually part of the family that he claimed to be, which is really weird, really weird. And supposedly, like, a lot of the facts that he said were actually true. So it raises the question of past lives, like, you know, is he bullshitting, or do you think that could be something that people, do you think our, like, we're almost recycled energy and we're going through different lives here?
Well, I'm just clutching at straws here, no idea, but yeah. I'd love it if it was.
And do you think it could be linked to dreams as well, like, or?
Well, I'm guessing, well, the whole thing, like, everything's linked together anyway. Yeah. It's like, this is part of something else and that's part of that, you know?
Good answer. LinkedIn, I like it.
I'm not going to say it's not true, like, but I'm not going to say it is. Yeah, I don't know, I've never done it.
Yeah, no.
But at the same time, I'd love it to be true, but I mean, it's a bit of a weird, like, kids have vivid imaginations, and he could just be absolutely whacking out this story.
I used to pretend
I was a fireman. I was a bit more adventurous than he was.
That's a little bit less specific, though. He kind of did name the place and time.
Yeah.
And
see, yeah, how would he know these things about the place?
The thing is, say if you were trying to think from a critical, logical mindset, you'd go, oh, his parents told him to do it. You know, oh, his parents told him to do this and that. Like, that's the only actual way that you could logically explain it. Otherwise, it would be true. So, you know, that's the only thing that you could
think. Yeah, because there's no way a kid would know so much. Well, like, he seems to know a lot of detail about the place and stuff. And the family name or whatever.
Family name, even his name. And he even said about his old mum that he used to know. I'll try and link this on Facebook or blog.
I remember they saying something in Waking Life, that movie, where they talked about basically reincarnation, I guess, is it?
Yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Except instead of coming back as a turtle or whatever, you come back as another person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were saying that, like, because there's more people, that we're constantly getting more and more people in the world, so does that mean everyone's getting reincarnated and more people are getting chucked in as well? Like, there's too many people.
Oh, right, so what you mean, yes. Yeah, because you can't just well, the thing is about that, right, Smith? This is could be the little fix to that little answer, is that you think about all, like, the hundreds of thousands of, like, dodos that are now extinct. They don't come back as dodos anymore. And there's, like, a gap in the market. So they come back as humans instead. That maybe that energy from the dodo bird that's now extinct is now here.
Right. So when we run out of snakes, there's going to be a massive surge of people coming in then,
yeah,
is there?
Yeah, with, like, two-pronged tongues. Hello.
With massive Adam's apples.
That's very clever. That was probably the smartest joke you've ever made, mate. Oh, I can't believe you just made that joke.
Oh, there you go, mate.
Fucking hell, that's knocked me off my feet. Oh, shit. Oh. There we go. Well, I suppose we'll leave it at that.
We're just bullshitting now, yeah.
Right, hang on. We've got another one here. This is from James Ashcroft, the legendary James Ashcroft that used to listen to season one. He's actually the one that's got the tattoo on his finger that says, I'm dreaming, or am I awake? It's a variation on that. So he's an avid lucid dreamer and a
pretty hardcore.
A hardcore fan from last year.
There we go.
Shout out to you, James. I think he's actually emailed us twice this week, so we'll do both of them. He says, if you haven't seen that film... Oh, no, this one's not a question. That's why. That's just an email.
Hang on, here we go. Great to have you guys back. I've got a question for you. Every time I try and do a wild, I manage to ignore all the itches and urges to move to try and get to sleep paralysis to kick in. But my mouth always fills up with saliva and I have to swallow it, which takes me right back to the start. How do you get past it? Please answer it in your next question, in the next pod. And funnily, we actually talked about this last year and you laughed at me saying, swallow cum.
yeah.
And now someone's genuinely asking the question, so.
Yeah, but he's generally having a saliva problem. Yours was related to semen.
No, I was talking about saliva as well.
The best thing that I've actually thought of, right, and I do this every single time, I just tilt my head. And that's it. Well, I lay on my back and I lean my head slightly to the left or to the right. I just let saliva all pour out. Sorted.
Pour out? What, onto your pillow?
Yeah.
Do you have a little bucket or something? That just pouring. You use that word if it's a lot.
Pillows are absorbent. They, you know, they're.
Yeah, but mate, if it's pouring out, then that's a lot.
Rain. It's not raining out my mouth. It's not like there's a hose like fizzing everywhere.
Oh dear.
So yeah,
the thing is though, like, I look at wilds as if I'm going to sleep normally.
Yeah.
And when I normally sleep, I don't have a trouble with the whole saliva thing. I just go to sleep. So, unless you're sleeping in a different position to perform a wild, like, I mean, to be honest, when I was doing wilds a lot, I used to lie on my back at the beginning, but now I might start off on my back, but I do toss and turn a bit, or I get on my side, don't matter.
Yeah.
But I don't usually find I'm dribbling everywhere.
No, I did when I first started.
Just get comfortable.
When I first started, I did that exact thing of, like, oh, I'm going to sit really still, and then because of that, I'd, like, wake myself halfway up. Because I'd be sort of like snoring because there would be a massive build-up of saliva in my mouth. And then I kind of realized if I just turned my head, it dribbled out. So that's the short-term answer to that. Turn your head and it dribbles out. The actual long-term answer is don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. And like at the end of the day, get comfortable. And if you need to swallow yeah. And then just reassert yourself about doing the wild again.
Yeah, there you go.
That's that one. So... thank you for that one, James. We also have one from Charlie... I'm not going to say it like that. I was just about to say it like a Frenchman. Charlie Shepherd.
Oh, yes.
He says, good day, guys, all the way from Sydney. We've got quite a little fan base going in Australia.
I like this, yeah. Popping down.
Love it.
Down under.
He says he loved watching the show. His question is, if we have ever been to the Lucid Crossroads or have ever tried it. Do you know anything about the Lucid Crossroads?
That's another thing we're adding onto the show as well, the Lucid Crossroads.
Well, I'll Google that.
What's that? I don't even know what that is.
I forgot about the first bit of that question because I was going to answer the second bit. But the first...
so you've just read out a question that we have no idea about.
Sorry about that.
So that's literally like...
I'll do that for this week. We'll do that.
His other question is that he heard...
This is a problem with the live shows. We can't...
That's all right.
He said he heard having sex in a lucid dream can make you ejaculate in real life. Smith would know about that because... would this be bad because my girlfriend is sleeping right next to me? I haven't tried lucid sex for this matter. A dream character even tempted me and was coming on to me, but I told her no to the point that I woke up screaming rape. Well, I think his girlfriend probably would have found that a bit more annoying than, you know, a little bit of jizz in the pants. Like him waking up going, rape, rape. She's like, what? Who's raping me? What? I think that would be a
not you, me.
That would be a bit more annoying. A little bit of jizz in the pants.
Great, so many awful questions afterwards. But to put it straight, if you haven't jizzed in a while, then yes, you will. But so as long as you pork, as long as you pork some bags before you go to sleep and have a dream, then you'll probably be all right. You got an empty tank.
Yeah.
Unless you're filling up.
Unless
you know
like a rapid thing, tape. Like you know, like the James Ashcroft thing. Just you know, get rid of the saliva. Just swallow.
Yeah. or like, you know, we say have a piss back to bed.
Yeah.
Maybe get out and have a cheeky back to bed.
A cheeky back to...
yeah.
I might have to try that now.
Just empty yourself out.
Shit.
And then go to sleep. And then you won't have any worries.
But he is right. You can...
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
In real life. Because Smith has had first-hand experience with that.
Yeah.
I'd like to point that out.
But the thing is, as well, you get to the point where... you know it's going to happen whilst you're doing it, so you kind of make the decision of shall I continue right to the end or shall I just get this out and wake up. And now I usually just whip it out and wake up because I just can't be bothered with it. I can't be dealing with it.
We're dealing with the mess
because it's like 6 in the morning and you got to deal with that. on top of writing your dream down. You know, I can't be asked. It's too much. It's too much going on now.
Oh, dear.
when people originally said, oh, you can't get a full night's sleep. Well, you can't if you're doing all these techniques and question reality.
It's everywhere and...
Yeah, and having to empty yourself out beforehand, and it's just too much, man. And like, if you want to go down, oh, I'm not even going to get into that. But
so yeah, there you go.
Or just put a Johnny on before you go to bed.
Oh, that's an answer. That was a very good answer. Put one on before. That's, you could sellotape it on. Completely sorted all night, or just put your girlfriend's lips on all night. Oh shit. Oh man. That was very Oh, well, there you go. That'll be it for this week.
Brilliant. What a great.
That was funny. That was very fun. Oh no, it won't be it for this week. We've got a special message. I forgot about that.
Oh, the special massage.
Special massage. I forgot about that. That was quite close. We could have completely lost that then. from the grapevine, have heard that it's a dear friend of ours' 24th birthday today.
You know who you
are. Mr. Andy Howlett. Oh,
Andy. Happy birthday, sir.
Yeah, happy birthday, sir. We... Go on, Smith. You tell him what we've got him sorted for his birthday.
Well, we've got you a little gift, Andy, because of all your hard work and the support you've been giving us. So we've got you a Get Lucid Retro Dream Journal.
Oh,
there you go.
Your birthday, sir.
That's your birthday gift from us.
There you go. So we're going to sign it for you. I don't think that's going to matter. Like, we're not.
Are we signing it?
Well, yeah, I thought so. Why not? Signing. As well. I mean.
All right.
It's not like
what I'll do, Andy, is we'll sign it on like one of the blank pages, and then if you don't want it, you can just rip it out.
Yeah.
So you can have it, or you don't have to have it.
Sorted.
But yeah, we'll send that your way, mate.
Is that the one that's got the little things in the middle?
All the juice. Yeah, you got. Look.
Yeah, look at that.
It's got... all crazy. Yeah. There's only three in the world of these as well.
Three in the world. There you go, Andy. Oh, you go. We've got you one of them bad boys. and that. The people that enlightened us to your birthday, supposedly, hang on. It is from the following people. I've got a little list to read here for you, Andy. It's Tombs and Block, Neck, Roscoe the Head Lightly, The Waist, Wifty Wuff, Tin and In His Pants, well, we've just been chatting about that, Merv, The Judas, and Sean Oliver and Danny Thorgerson. And I had to say it like that because that was the way it was given to me. So, and obviously from me and Smith as well, thank you for all your work you've done in the dreaming. And on that note, we should really chat about his brand new video that Andy has actually completed, which is Perchance to Dream, which is amazing. I absolutely loved it.
It is awesome. It's epic.
It was so good. And it really did encapsulate like what it is to like struggle with lucid dreaming.
The thing about lucid dreaming that no one actually ever covers on the forums or anything. The whole struggle, like that whole day to day feeling of struggling that you get with it. And the thing that made me proper laugh was the when he was trying to force out the blow test.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sitting there like.
Give it his best.
Because I can really relate to that, where I've been in situations where like this has got to be a dream. Yeah. Whack out the nose and it's not, and I try and blow a little bit harder, but it still doesn't come out. So that was just great.
It was a really really good. The best bit I found was the dream journal bit. Like really struggling with like when he was flicking through his book and there was just absolutely no dreams in there. But he'd still written down the date. Because that's exactly because you go into it with such good like vibes, like, oh, here we go, this is what it's going to be, I'm going to write down my dream, and then boom, it doesn't work. So everyone, please check out Perchance to Dream. You can find that on our Facebook is the best way to find it, but I will put a link in the blog, but it is at Deadly Serious Productions on Vimeo.
So please check that out, guys, as it is awesome. So yeah, that'll be it for this week. So happy birthday, Andy. And have you got any more shout-outs this week, Smith?
Oh, the usuals, the cheekies, Juicy Webs. Thanks for hosting our show.
As usual.
They are sorting out the website. I know we keep building it, but it will be there eventually. But yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks for that, boys.
I've got shout-outs again to Andy Howlett and Roscoe Lightly for that wicked video, Perchance a Dream. And thanks to the Lucidity guys, Oliver and Danny Torkerson. Hopefully, the thing is, right, what's happening is that I'm moving house probably next week, and I'm not sure if we're going to be able to run an episode the week after. We'll see, because if I can, then obviously I'm gonna do it, but if not, then I'll figure something else out, and we'll get some sort of content out at least. once the new house is all sorted and everything, hopefully all the new things that we're putting in place, the website, the call-ins, and we'll have people coming on the show, some interviews, that sort of stuff. Once I've moved house, pretty much we're all banking on this move. And then after that, everything's going to get sorted out. So.
When do we find out if you've got the house?
I think tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Well, good luck.
So, hopefully that will happen.
Fingers crossed.
And the usual shout-outs. These aren't shout-outs anymore. It's just bookkeeping. You can find us, you can find us on Facebook if you just search Get Lucid. Twitter is at Get Lucid UK. You can email us, and please do, because we do try and answer all the questions.
We love the emails.
Smith jizzes in his pants in his dream over the email. So you can email us at getlucidUK@hotmail.co.uk. And please sign up to Justin TV and follow us.
Stop your naming.
Follow us on Justin TV, because that gives us a bit bigger of a live view, and then hopefully we can attract more viewers as well and get everyone involved in the Lucid community, which is starting, our little community is starting to get quite big now. We've got the trifecta, like we've got the Lucidity guys, the Deadly Serious Production guys, and like the Get Lucid guys. It's become a little triangle, which I know Sean's going to be happy about. He loves triangles, and he loves three and everything to do with that. So it's like a little trifecta of Lucid juice. It's all getting mental. And then that's about it, I think. I don't think you... Can you find us anywhere else? Oh, iTunes. There we go, last one.
Find us in your dreams.
You can find us in your dreams. Oh, and the blog as well. iTunes, just search. And the blog is getlucidUK.blogspot.com. So thanks, everyone, for watching, and we hope you enjoyed it this week. Hopefully there was no technical problems.
Oh, I bet there was.
Oh, there always is.
Robot!
So thanks again, everyone, for watching, and... we might see you next week.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I just want to say one last time, Porker Badge.
And on that note, we shall be out. Sweet Lucid Dreams, everyone, and we'll see you soon.